What's up, everybody? Welcome to SWAT MMA. We're smoking weed and talking mixed martial arts. My name is Jared. I'm here with Paul.
What's up?
And we are coming to you from the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. This is episode number 84, and today we are going to be talking about Mike Tyson and exhibition boxing, YouTube boxing, real boxing, UFC Fight Night Las Vegas recap, and a look ahead to the upcoming UFC 256 pay-per-view. Before we get into all this combat sports, let's get started with our weed of the week.
Smoke weed every day.
All right, Paul, you just passed me this joint of OG Kush, the original. Yeah. Dude, we have been doing the tour of the OGs lately.
Yeah.
All kinds of OG weed, and now we got the roots, yes. This is nice, man. This is an absolute classic. This strain, let's see, there's some history on it. It came from Florida in the early 1990s. It was a Northern California strain that was crossed with a Hindu Kush strain from Amsterdam. It created a very unique terpene profile at the time of like gas, fuel, skunk, and spice flavors and scents. So I came to Cali, to Los Angeles specifically in 1996 when this dude named Matt Bubba Burger brought it and gave it to this really famous cultivator named Josh D. And let's see, Bubba Burger, that might sound a little bit familiar because any Bubba Kush you've ever smoked, Bubba Kush is his strain, the Bubba, crossed with OG Kush. And that one's spawned off many others. And then now at this point, here in 2020, OG Kush is the backbone of countless fucking strains.
Yep.
From Girl Scout cookies to headband to too many to list. We could sit here the whole episode and pretty much name strains that are connected to OG Kush. It's amazing that one person bring him back a clone or whatever he brought back from in 1996. Is now we're sitting here smoking on this shit still.
Yeah.
Spawned off of that.
That's crazy.
Fucking influenced so much of the cannabis scene throughout the 90s. To right now. And that is smooth and tasty, my friend. So now we've gone through the Fire OG, the Platinum OG, the OG Kush. I think we've had Banana OG on the show. We've had Ghost OG.
Taking them down.
Taking them all down. We've also got some Ghost Train Haze Terpene Diamonds here. Paul was hitting the dab rig before the show, and for air, we've got our packs 3 filled with diamonds. So we'll get into those a little bit later in the episode. But Paul, let's go ahead and get started. I'm going to ask you what you want to start with first, because we're mainly talking about two things here, which is UFC, because there's not a lot going on in major mixed martial arts.
Some good fights coming up.
There's some good fights coming up. But then we've got a lot of various types of boxing to talk about today as well. From, like I mentioned in the intro, we've got real serious boxing, sanctioned bouts. We've got unsanctioned exhibition bouts of various skill levels that happened since our last episode. Of course, the big Mike Tyson Roy Jones Jr. fight went down since we aired last. And there's been a lot of fallout from that. And there's been some other crazy fights announced. So what do you think, sir?
Let's just kick it off with that. Let's start with the Mike Tyson event.
Let's start with Mike Tyson. Well, then we got to start with the Roy Jones part. Because we haven't got together for the show since that. The only bullshit to me about that entire thing was the result.
Well, yeah.
Being a draw was silly.
it was a pretty clear
Mike Tyson victory. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know anybody that could have watched that and thought differently, but it was highly entertaining.
Here's the thing. Remember what I was saying before. Do you want to double-cross the commission and think you're going to do it again?
No.
And he didn't do that, and they're going to do it again.
That was a really good
fight.
It was very entertaining.
Broke tons of numbers. Did 1.2 mil.
They're estimating, 1.2 million pay-per-views, which is crazy. Amazing. Yeah, that's great. For especially for an upstart company, Triller and Fight TV putting this out. And let's talk about that before we dive into the fight.
Fucking terrific.
I've never been so impressed with the production of a combat sports event as I was for that pay-per-view. I ordered it here. You came over. We watched it. It's fucking $50. I felt really well spent. That production level was
top notch.
I couldn't fucking stop talking about it, man.
That performances in and out. They were, a few of them were a little funny, but it was.
Yeah,
it
they had musical acts, mainly rap, in between. Yeah. The fights, which I enjoyed.
Yeah.
A lot of it was older school. But honestly, I read some people complaining about that, some fight purists thinking that was bullshit. Like,
no,
really?
Cool.
Do you still want to hear the commentators discuss the fucking fights again? People have been discussing this fight for 3 more months. What are the guys going to tell us now that we all haven't heard?
What are they going to fill that 20 times? Minutes? Well, that's the thing, too, is like when you're talking about boxing and main event boxing, every pay-per-view is drawn out at the end. They want to see like the most buys come in and then they walk the guys out. It's happened with countless Mayweather fights and tons of fights over the like mid to early 2000s. You know, like the sell like that, you want to see how many people you're going to sell. A lot of people don't come for the whole card. They come for the main event.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if you draw that extra 20 minutes and everyone's like, fuck it, let's get it. You know what I mean? And then, obviously, the main event delivered, I think.
The main event delivered 100%. I had goosebumps, man. That shit was amazing. Mike came out and looked way better than everybody thought, and it was interesting to me that he clearly had the better gas tank. I mean, at the end, Roy was just trying to tie up nonstop. I mean, that was Roy's main strategy. That disappointed me in a sporting sense. I understand it, but it wasn't like it made the fight terrible or anything. It was an amazing fight. Tyson is sticking around and doing more, and I think that there's going to be even more interest because he looked so good. I haven't read any negative about Tyson's performance whatsoever.
No.
And, you know, with that production, people might be saying, thinking, you know, that are listening, are like, what do you mean the production was good? Like, I mean, like, they had
the lighting.
The lighting was amazing. It was super bright above the ring.
It was like Madison Square Garden does it. Like, yeah. It was like the ring was super highlighted, and then the crowd was completely blacked out. So, like, you were completely focused on the, like, what
was going
on in
the
circle.
Yeah, and they had big screens on all four sides around the ring that during the breaks between rounds, they would show pictures of the fighters or whatever, or Proper 12, or Weed Maps, whoever was advertising on it. But what they did during the fight that really helped is they blacked it out completely.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like really stark.
And the commentating was fucking funny.
And the commentary was good. Snoop Dogg
was
on the
team. Snoop was a little much, but it was funny.
He was a little bit much, but he got out some things. Like, he said his most famous line was probably like, he's like, this is like my two uncles fighting in the backyard. Which it wasn't in reality like that at all. But that was a really funny thing to say. And because of their age, that makes it funny.
Dude, honestly,
that was a quality.
Israel did well, too.
Israel Adesanya was the other one, of course.
Yeah, he was
the other fighter. Or not
he was
fight,
good
the
all
other
night.
Fighter, but the other commentary that was a fighter.
Mauro was a little much, but...
Yeah, he's a little much, but whatever. It's what I expect.
Yeah.
But overall, it was... I really think they put on a better show as far as production-wise than anything I've seen. It's better than the UFC.
Yeah.
Like, I wish the UFC would do the layouts like that. It'd be so much better. They
it
fucking...
was definitely like a special event type like environment for sure.
I was disappointed watching the UFC events after that, the way they're lighting at the Apex and doing it. I was like, this could be so much better.
Well, it just feels like the Ultimate Fighter. That's what it feels like,
man.
It's watching.
It feels just like a...
That's why Ultimate Fighter is coming back.
It feels
back.
Like a non-event.
You know what I mean?
UFC fights feel like a non-event.
Sometimes, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Whereas, and we'll get into it later, but like the Spence-Garcia fight had fucking 16,000 people there in AT&T Stadium, all socially distanced, and that felt like a fucking event.
Yeah.
That Tyson thing felt like an event with a capital E.
Yeah.
Like, so let's talk about the fight itself. I mean, the undercard was okay. That opening fight, Garcia versus somebody, I don't remember offhand, Spencer Garcia, I think. He looked real good, I thought. It was actually a pretty entertaining fight. The Badu-Jack fight, That dude was tough. He was fighting. He was a little too tough for.
It was whatever. It was just kind of a clinic.
It was a clinic. I mean, dude, he whooped up on a dude that he should whoop up on.
It's weird because, like, honestly, the star of the night was probably Jake Paul, dude.
Yeah, like, and then Jake Paul comes out with Nate Robinson, which was.
It's hard to watch.
Yeah, because Nate Robinson clearly knows nothing about fighting. He just ran at Paul with his goddamn chin up in the air, literally.
Yeah.
Like,
but to be honest, the punch he knocked him out with was legit. Like, that was, like, you can tell he's,
yeah,
he's been training. He's taking it super serious. He's
definitely spending some time in the boxing gym.
How, like, serious enough to think he can go fight Conor McGregor? I don't know about that, but
dude, good luck with just that. So people know, like, the way boxing works, like, there's even levels to amateur boxing. And it takes a minute for most people to even be like a qualified novice level amateur boxer. Like, and you can fight novice levels in like golden gloves and shit, but it takes a, like, there's like stages.
Yeah, but so you know. This,
he might have 2 years of boxing, but that's not that. That's like nothing in boxing. But, so, I mean, he has some skills, yes.
Yeah.
But it's pretty easy to show a couple years worth of boxing skill when you seriously have a fucking dude running at you that knows nothing. That's like.
But
a,
here's the thing, though, too.
It's like he a street has... fight where a guy can't do nothing but punch you. You're going to fucking murder the motherfucker.
Yeah.
If you know box.
But he's been out here training with a freaking. Out in Vegas, like fucking all. Like. 2 times a day.
I'm not saying he's not in the gym doing some two-a-days and putting it in, but I mean, 2 years is 2 years is 2 years in boxing, bro. It ain't shit. You'll shine against some guy who doesn't know how to fight, who's limited to only using his hands.
No doubt. I think he should fight Dylan Danis. That would make a lot of sense.
He might beat Dylan Danis because Dylan Danis don't know shit about striking either. I mean, let's be real.
I know, but that would make the most sense.
Jake Paul's been doing nothing but striking for 2 years. Dylan Danis is a jiu-jitsu master. Like, do we want to you want to go see fucking Paul roll for 2 years in jiu-jitsu and become like a, you know, what a fucking yellow belt or some shit and then then go roll with Danis?
Yeah.
Like, no.
I do. No, I'm just kidding.
Not that Paul that's is that thing, level though. Of boxing, but
here's
I don't think Danis can punch worth a
Here's what you run into, though. When you talk about a guy who brings in the amount of eyeballs that that guy does just based off his following, it doesn't matter what level he's at. Fucking his brother is about to fight Floyd Mayweather.
We'll talk about that later, too.
We'll talk about it later. But, like, Jesus, what we're talking about here is somebody who's basically a celebrity boxer. I don't really know what to call him. But is willing to fight pros, I guess.
Well, it's a payday. He wants to fight Mayweather because he don't think in his heart of hearts he's going to go out there and beat goddamn Floyd Mayweather.
No fucking way.
He's not going to beat any serious pro boxer. Not one on earth, bro.
Dude, he lost.
Well, no, that's okay. That's a bit much.
Yeah.
But you get my point.
Yeah.
He might be able to beat some shit-ass club fighter with a 7-30 fucking record they bring in. You know what I mean? Some shit like that. But. Mm-hmm.
And he was fucking way big. He was way bigger than Nate Robinson too.
Yeah, he's way bigger too. I mean,
like, what
it's easy to shine in that moment. Is all I'm saying. Some basic skills will make it easy for you to shine. Not saying he ain't putting in work.
No doubt.
I'm saying there's a limited amount of work he can put in 24 months or whatever it's been, 36 months. I'm sorry, you ain't some kid that's been boxing since you were 6.
Yeah.
You weren't in the gym when you were 13.
True.
You know, like. There's a difference there. Boxing is different like that.
Here's the thing, though. He's still, like, super young.
Yeah, he's, like, what, 21, 23, something?
Yeah, I think he's only, like, 21.
I think the other one's 23. He's 21. Yeah. But, I mean, kudos on them from a business sense. Now, I'm a joke on it on a sporting sense because this is a sporting fucking show.
Yeah.
In the real world, I have a marketing business, and I've been doing that for 15 fucking years. I'd love to do an episode talking about how smart this kid is making all this fucking money and landed a fight with Floyd fucking Mayweather, a pay-per-view.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's ridiculous.
Kudos to you with your big-ass YouTube audience and all these fucking Instagram followers and all you are some dude that started, what, Zoosh?
But,
I think it was. Zoosh. I don't know. I think it was Zoosh.
I don't fucking know.
I looked him up a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Good. Fucking right on. But this is a sports show, and we're talking about sporting shit and fighting, and you ain't nothing, bro. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's got.
And no serious fighter looks at that, and it's a joke. Why do you think Floyd's all over it?
Yeah, Floyd's I'm gonna fuck this guy up, and he's way bigger than me,
bro. Floyd could tie his fucking arm to his waist and only fight with his left hand, and he's going to win Floyd's a fucking fuck boxing match against that dude. I guarantee
he's going to gas and Floyd's going to TKO him. That's what's going to happen.
That is 100%. One-armed, in all seriousness, he will win. And it wouldn't even be that impressive. I still wouldn't think that was like, oh, well, kudos to you, motherfucker.
Wouldn't be surprised.
He's Floyd Mayweather. He's been fighting far longer than that dude has been alive.
Yeah, dude, that's true. The thing is, like, come on, what Floyd's do you, what do you think is gonna six, happen here, bro? 23. Like,
what
Jesus.
Are you gonna do? You're gonna get schooled.
Yeah, you're anybody who thinks otherwise, bro, is fucking stupid.
It's gonna be like Nate Robinson level embarrassment, most likely. He might not get KO'd, but he will get schooled. This ain't gonna be no Conor McGregor good showing. People trying
I
to
bet
compare
you
it
if
to
he
McGregor
gets super
fight.
Gassed like that, he'll just quit on the stool.
Yeah, this ain't no McGregor Floyd fight.
Yeah,
McGregor been boxing since he was a kid, legit. McGregor had amateur boxing. McGregor is a professional fighter who is in the gym striking for years and years and years and years.
Yeah, this dude not even literally is a YouTuber.
Not in the same universe. This is some
who used to be a wrestler.
Yeah, dude, a high school wrestler. Okay, kudos, you got some skills there, but this ain't. You're not wrestling Floyd.
Yeah.
You try that shit, it's going to be over. So,
try that shit, it's gonna
kudos
be over.
On the business sense. Am I going to pay for that one? No, sir.
Fuck no.
Absolutely not. We're probably not going to talk about it much ever again on this show.
Well.
But let's talk about, he laid out Nate Robinson.
Yeah.
That poor dude's a fucking goddamn meme. Had the Nate Robinson challenge on social media.
It's rough.
One of my boys in Colorado. He was laid out in a dumpster because he's a trash. He works for a fucking trash company, right? So he's in a dumpster all laid out and shit doing a Nate Robinson challenge. It's hilarious.
You seen the one where it's like, Jerry. You seen the one where it's like fucking Tyson and Roy Jones in the ring and then Nate's still in the corner knocked out.
Oh, fuck. That's funny.
It's like fucked up.
Dude, that was brutal, man. I don't know why he would. I don't know why you don't charge somebody like that. Like, you want to do that in a street fight, I guess, if you think you can tackle somebody.
Dude, they should have called it after the first knockdown. He was fucked. He was bound to get embarrassed after that.
Oh, so that's the end of that. Like, Paul wins, KO. Robinson looks like a fool. His brother lands the Floyd Mayweather shit off of this, basically, the success of it. But then we get a real, actual, entertaining thing worth $50. We get Mike Tyson coming out with a goddamn towel with his name on it, black shoes with no socks, coming in against Roy, and looking, dude, side to side, fucking leaping hooks, pivoting in the hooks. He was working, old boy, working that body.
You can tell that they were trying to stay to the body, though.
They worked hard to stay within the confines and not piss off the commission while still delivering
but
legit
still,
action.
But there was some times that he rocked Roy.
Oh, Roy. Yeah, Roy was rocked a couple times, and them body shots were hurt. You could hear him. Man.
Yeah.
Tyson looked
Roy
great.
Roy was getting a good jab off, though.
That's no, Roy like, Roy is still Roy Jones. Like, he still he landed some shots. Mike
I
took some shots.
I just felt like he was physically not on the level that Mike was.
Not even close. He was
gassed.
He gassed, and then it turned into a tie-up fest. Anytime Mike got inside, started landing hooks, Jones would fucking just tie him up, clinch, get the break, try to land a jab or two on the outside. Tyson would come in, tie him up, clinch. But it didn't make the fight shitty like that can do in boxing sometimes. It was still great. Now, Paul, I'm going to be honest. I think Tyson looked amazing. I'm excited to see the next one of these. That does not mean I think Tyson's a legit boxer now going to go win the championship or anything. Like, some people are getting a little carried away with that. I don't see a path. Like, George Foreman is out. First, he was shitting on this fight. Then he sees the Tyson performance. And now he's like, I think Tyson can win a real belt. And no, dude. Tyson looked great.
Even
for
if
what
he could, I don't
want to
see that.
No. Keep doing this. This is entertaining. Go fight Evander Holyfield. That's
honestly,
what I want to see.
You think he could, though? Maybe. Anthony Joshua or Tyson Fury?
He can't would fuck have with to, Tyson Fury.
I don't think he can fuck with Tyson Fury, but I think he can fuck up Anthony Joshua.
He might. He might be able to get in on Anthony Joshua.
Anthony Joshua's a head case, too. Like, if fucking...
And Tyson would,
I sound like an idiot right now, though. No, for no. sure.
There's people that know. Are like, these high motherfuckers don't know shit.
But Anthony Joshua's just had his, like, questionable moments with his chin. Mike Tyson hits like a fucking...
Dude, he got KO'd by Ruiz. Ruiz is like...
Oh, he's got like, hurt multiple times. He got dropped by Klitschko also.
Yeah. I mean, that's a possibility. Yeah. That Tyson with another, like, maybe another something like this under his belt. And some.
How old was Klitschko when they fought? Probably like 65.
He was, no. He was 71.
Oh, sorry.
But
for real, though, like,
I really think Tyson can have a massive next one of these against someone like, say, a Holyfield.
Yeah. I don't think he should have boxed like real. Nah.
Holyfield's asking for it. He was like, please, I'm down Mike, with that. Sign the contract.
Holyfield. But.
Yeah.
There's no rules in that one because someone's getting knocked the fuck out.
Yeah, I think the next one might not take place in Cali.
Yeah, they said that it might go in. They might go overseas, where the commission's a little bit more loose.
Just go to the fucking Indian reservation.
Nah, dude, go to fucking Abu Dhabi. Get that fucking hella money.
Well, yeah, they could probably get a crowd in it.
Hell yeah, crowd. Too. Yeah.
Dude, if they did that, they could run that shit at AT&T Stadium. Who's not going to go to a Mike Tyson fight, especially after he came out and looked good?
Sure.
Now it's not a joke. Now it's like, oh, AT&T shit, this guy's got Stadium something. As long as he stays in his lane.
Yeah.
You know, this being a very specific lane right here.
But, if I'm being honest, I think that's the future of, like, big fights, is having them in a football stadium where you can get limited capacity, and then limited capacity in a football stadium is around fucking what you get normally. Yeah, it's like the same 16 thing you would get to 20,000, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah, or a fucking T-Mobile. Yeah. T-Mobile's like 22,000 on a UFC fight, 23.
You don't really know what it costs to put on an event in that, though.
Yeah, it might cost higher, but there's also whatever the normal fee used to be to put on an event there that the stadium owners, however they work it, would charge. It's got to be different now. They're not running shit. There's no crowds coming in. They're a little.
Well, here's the only issue, too.
Everybody's hard up into, for some money.
The only issue you run into is if you're going to fight on a Saturday, they have a game on a Sunday, that field might get fucked up.
Yeah, there's that. I don't know. It's interesting, but there's other options.
Yeah, definitely.
But overall, as an event, I did not feel disappointed ordering it. I really enjoyed it. Yeah. I feel fucking excited after it.
For sure.
And, of course, I am a huge Mike Tyson fan. I mean, yeah. I got pictures of him throughout my home. So.
Let's move on to some welterweight boxing that went on Saturday.
Some real Errol boxing. Spence
Errol came Spence. Out and looked terrific against Danny Garcia.
Danny Garcia.
Won.
For Spence's two belts.
Yep. Retained.
And won a convincing. It was
all
Garcia
Spence.
Made a decent showing at the end. He came back a bit, but that shit was all Spence.
Yeah.
It was very dominant. I thought he looked outstanding. Not even was there no ring rust. There was nothing from the accident.
Nobody puts Danny away, so it's like
he's never even been knocked down in his career.
So he just beat Danny down. It's really what happened. Yeah. The body shots he was cracking him with, dude. I do not know how he stayed up, dude. Like,
those body shots were nasty. And his eye was pretty swollen and jacked up.
Yep.
And Spence, I think the fight changed a little bit. Meant to bring my notes. I left them out there, but it doesn't really matter. There was a headbutt in the in the middle rounds.
In the seventh, I believe.
That left, even after the fight, it had a visible bruise on Errol's head.
Yeah.
And I think that changed the fight just a little bit. It was right after that.
Well, remember, he got headbutted, and then, he, turned away, and then, Garcia tried to tee off on him, and right before the round ended.
Yeah, right before the round ended.
Yeah,
and Spence talks a little shit after that, what the fuck.
Yeah.
But it seemed after that coincided with a bit of a surge from Garcia. Like I did wind up giving him a couple of the later rounds.
Yeah.
But ultimately,
but that last round too, Earl went back to work on his ass.
Last round, he spent a lot of time controlling the center of the ring.
Yeah.
Moving Garcia backwards up against the ropes and then working him over.
Yeah.
He was in control throughout the fight like that. And now Garcia is more of a counter puncher, and he did land some shots on Spence as well.
Yeah.
He did put up a pretty decent showing despite being dominated, so to speak. he landed. I mean, Earl took several solid shots just fine. Seemed to have no issues with taking a punch after the accident, is my point.
Well, yeah. Well, that was the difference in the fight, too, was Danny was getting his shots off, and he'd land one or two, whereas Errol was, like, landing three, four, five. He was landing combos. He was going to the bodies, coming in with jabs. He was going all over the place. Because in those middle rounds, he put, like, around 40-punch lead in the stats. Like, I think it was, like, between rounds 4 to 7, he was, like, up, like, by 40 punches.
Yeah, that's what he was doing. You were having Garcia fire 1-2s, yeah. And then Spence coming in and do 1-2-3-4-5-6.
Yeah.
And then bouncing right back out.
He has,
and then,
dude,
oh boy, throw 1-2 trying to land on him.
He's got super underrated right defense.
Dude, his, like, defense was
super underrated. He was catching everything on the gloves.
Every Garcia right-handed he tried to throw, Spence kept catching.
Yeah.
Like, they rarely got through.
Absolutely.
Like, he had that left hand up. Or
even the body shots, he was doing a good job, like, catching them on his elbows.
Yeah, for sure. He looked great. I mean, he looked like he hadn't missed a beat. Probably better, honestly, than he did in the Sean Porter fight.
Yeah, well, I heard him say in an interview about how he hasn't ever since the accident happened, obviously, that he's, like, completely has, like, a new meaning for life. You know what I mean? Like,
that happens, man. And that was a serious, serious accident. I mean,
dude, if he was wearing his seatbelt, he would have died.
Yeah, he got saved because he didn't have a seatbelt on and got ejected from the vehicle. I mean, I remember we discussed it on the show when it happened. We were concerned, as everybody was, that might be it. You know, how do you, can you even come back from something like that?
Dude, he, like, pretty much came out unscathed.
It's an amazing, amazing thing. It's crazy. That car was jacked.
Oh, dude, yeah, his car is
absolutely
fucked
jacked. But, you know, Garcia, valiant effort, but ultimately lost in a convincing fashion. Yeah. I had it 118, 110. I only gave two rounds and two of the later rounds to Danny.
Me too.
But, you know, the judges saw it a little with a little bit more leeway.
Yeah.
But all in all, very dominant performance. And that leads to, you know, some big fights possible here. We had Bud Crawford in attendance in Texas.
Yep.
Getting soundly booed by everybody.
Oh, dude, he got littered with boos.
Ooh. He was, that's got to be a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, that was rough.
They throw you up in like 16,000 people. I think all but him and whoever came with him were really going to town.
But you're in Earl's freaking hometown.
Right,
come on.
That's what I'm going to say. But we were hoping so maybe we might get an announcement of that fight. But instead, it looks like we're going to get Crawford versus Porter.
Yeah.
Which I'm happy
that's
with.
That's what
that.
The rumor is. Yeah, I'm cool happy with that. Because you know what I think?
It's not a guarantee yet, but it could happen.
Porter is like, he's like, it's hard to say. Like, he is the definition of, like, you're a great fighter, you can beat Porter. Because he's such a good fighter that he's game against anybody. But
yeah,
like,
he's always a lot.
If you're truly great, you can, like, overcome, like, you know what I mean? Like, for Earl to win that fight against Porter, like, he had to, like, pull it out of his
ass.
Yeah,
he had to show his metal.
Like, yeah.
It wasn't,
and that's
know
what I feel like he's going to do with Crawford, because we haven't really seen that in Crawford's career yet, you know, where he's ever had to, like, really, truly be tested.
Mm-mm.
And I think Porter would be the perfect test before he fights Spence. Obviously, my want is for Spence and Crawford to happen next, obviously, but if it is Crawford and Porter, I'll take that as well. In that case, Spence should fight Manny.
He's been wanting to.
Manny's just holding out for that Conor fight.
Of course he is, man. The Conor fight's still a legit possibility. I mean, Conor flat out and said he was fighting Dustin because he wanted experience against the Southpaw, and then Manny's next. So, I mean, nothing has changed on that front. So
yeah, true.
And I've been reading a lot on the boxing, sites lately, and they all think it's
done deal.
Yeah. But anyways, excellent showing from Errol Spence Jr. Excited for that division.
I think he's the best welterweight in the world right now.
Yeah, sir. I'm not going to disagree with that statement.
All respect to Bud Crawford, but I think Spence is just a little bit better.
I can't disagree with that. And I don't think it's recency bias. I've felt that way before the accident. It's not a new feeling. It's very close. They're both tremendous.
They're both top notch. They're both top notch.
That's the kind of fight that lends itself most likely to a trilogy. I don't That's really what see I was one of them say dominating.
As well. Yeah.
You know, or at least two, you know. I wouldn't – I could – I'm glad it's happening. If it happens.
I was going to say, is it say, happening though?
With the Porter – I was just thinking with the Porter Crawford fight.
Yeah.
I'm glad that's happening. And hopefully it leads to the Spence fight next. We'll see.
Yeah, we still don't even know if the Crawford fight is, or Porter's fight's happening. But it would make sense. I mean, Crawford didn't really have any crazy adversity in his last fight that would hold him out for long.
The rest of that card was pretty entertaining as well.
Absolutely.
Fuendano was on the card. I don't really need to talk about it much, but he's an interesting fighter, being 6'6", fighting at 153 pounds. He's got an 80-inch reach.
Yeah.
Which is was in PBC champions, he's third on reach of the entire roster under Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury.
That's so nuts.
And then there's this 153 pound kid.
That's crazy.
The fight was amazing. Like,
he just kept him on the outside so well.
And he's got some pretty nasty uppercuts. Yeah, like, we'll see how he does against upper level competition, but man, he mowed through Ahmed. Like, mowed through him.
Yeah.
And it was a spectacle. I don't know how long he's going to be able to keep that weight. 6'6", 80-inch reach.
What the fuck?
Fighting at 153. 153, in case that's not coming clear.
That's nuts. I would just go to the body if I ever fought that fool.
Yeah. Well, Ahmed was trying to get inside, but he just couldn't. Every time he tried to get inside, that uppercut, he's so tall, the uppercut is like some weird hybrid jab.
For real.
But it's coming at all the wrong angle. But the height where it's coming from is jab level.
Yeah.
And it's because of the height difference, it's not really coming up.
Yeah.
Like we're talking about Tyson a minute ago, like Tyson dips in and pivots like straight the fuck up inside with an uppercut.
Yeah.
You know, this, because he's short. He's fucking... Yeah. You know, he's 5'10".
This guy, like, fucking...
This dude is throwing this weird uppercut to some guy who comes up to, like, barely above his fucking navel. And it's got to be a weird angle, because it was landed. Sure. Dude for was sure. Like, what the fuck just hit me?
Yeah.
And then it was over. You know, he gets the second round fucking KO.
Yep.
TKO. I thought that was entertaining, though. For and he's sure. somebody that... I feel that we're going to be talking about in the future, just because it might be a minute before someone figures him out.
For sure.
And if he, unlike, say, his MMA counterpart would be like Stefan Struve, who's never got used to his body. You know what I mean? This guy being only in boxing, he seemed like he was pretty good with his overall mechanics.
Yeah, and his
using
reach.
That reach.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of excited about the future. That was my first time I heard about him. I think he fought on the Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder undercard, which I didn't see his fight. I'd heard rumors about this tall dude. I didn't really pay much attention. That was my first time seeing him on screen, and I'm going to pay attention for his next fight for sure.
Yeah.
So before we shift further down here, we do have an upcoming bout in the heavyweight division, right?
Joshua. Anthony Joshua's fighting this weekend against Pulev.
Pulev. He's only lost one time, isn't that right?
Klitschko.
Yeah.
That was way back, though. I think it was like 2014 or 16 or something like that.
It's a little under the radar, I think, for most folks. What do you think?
I mean, he's definitely a little bit on the older side, though. He's
39. Like
38, 39, yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I think Joshua... He's got the big fight set up with Tyson Fury, so he knows he's got to get the job done. So
he's got this and probably one other mandatory.
Yeah.
Our boy is scheduled to give is the next mandatory for him, so we'll see.
So, they already have a
against him, but
they already have a two-fight deal signed for 2021, so.
Right. So if he gets through these two mandatories, and Tyson's wanting a little bit of a warm-up fight in between that, too. He doesn't want to wait that long for a fight.
Yeah.
So.
But now freaking, what's his name? Wilder's holding all of it up.
Yeah, we'll see how that comes. That's just still a mediation. We thought this would be resolved by now, and it's taken a minute. But
Joshua's getting his side of the the deal done this weekend, hopefully.
He should.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be good for him to show he's fully recovered from losing his belts and regaining his belts. And I imagine he's going to make short work here.
Yeah, me too.
His next one, we'll see. That could be tougher.
Yeah.
But not a whole lot of other action on that card. We've already discussed it already. We've got the announcement of the Logan Paul Floyd Mayweather. I don't really have anything else to say about that, do you?
No.
Then we've got a boxer now. Before we transition into the UFC and mixed martial arts, we do have kind of a crossover point here over the past couple of weeks where we have had just top women's boxer Clarissa Shields announce her transition part-time, full-time, we don't really know yet, to mixed martial arts with a signing right now. We'll see if it holds with the PFL, Professional Fighters League, but not for the tournaments, Paul. This is only for one-off fights, I believe, at 155 pounds.
That just sounds like she's going to fight what's her name? Who's a PFL champion? I forgot her name.
Kayla Harrison?
Kayla Harrison, yeah.
Well, she's off now fighting at 145 in Invicta, so I don't know. I thought about that at first, too, but I don't think so. I don't think they want their paths to cross, actually.
You don't think so?
No, I think that Kayla Harrison is much more well-versed in grappling.
Yeah.
And they don't want – I would probably win due to that against Clarissa Shields, who is still – very raw when it's going to come to MMA, grappling and kicking. Although the other thing that Clarissa did is she and John Jones started releasing some footage of her having gone to Jackson Wink and training with John.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the right move there.
For
I mean, you're going to go learn from some of the fucking best in the world.
They know what they're doing too. They did this with Holly Holm.
Yeah. They have a history actually of taking boxers and making them a successful mixed martial artist. There's already a blueprint out there.
Yeah.
With Holly Holm.
Yeah.
Who was, what, an 18-time boxing champ, 18 defenses overall of her various titles, 18 world title fight wins. And Shields, even though her record is low, she's only had, 11 or 12 fights. She's fought all the top-notch competition right away, yep. Decorated in the Olympics, of course. And I'm pretty excited with this signing. I think the PFL, if they make it, because we both have our doubts if they survive this pandemic. I don't know about
the PFL. What's going on with them? They also signed Fabricio Werdum. Like, they're doing some...
That one's shady as fuck. Yeah. I wonder why he signed to the PFL.
Shady as
fuck. Well, it is. For fuck's sake.
He's going to dog everyone.
Yeah, he's going to walk his way to $1 million, and his manager, Ali, friend of the PFL... former fucking matchmaker or whatever the hell he did with the WSOP, which is just the renamed PFL. All his boys are still there. Yeah, he gets like the guaranteed 150K. Gee. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's illegal. It's probably all on the up and up, but I mean,
he knows
it's a no-brainer, dude.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer, for sure.
Fucking. But anyways, Clarissa, if she's managed, right? Clarissa. She's managed right. I think she's going to have a success in those lower levels and maybe enough to transition to the UFC like Holly Holm did.
Well, here's the thing is she's going to have a leg up against a lot of people just in the striking where she's not going to have to deal with a whole lot of wrestling for a good amount of time if she gets a couple warm-up fights and, gets in there. If she can just... handle her takedown defense and just strike. We've seen people make it to the top of the UFC without a ton of takedown defense.
Yeah, you don't have to turn into a world-class grappler that's going to go win grappling competitions. Yeah. You just need to be able to learn to effectively takedown defense and then a method of getting up.
Uh-huh.
Learn how to get back to that cage and work your way up.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's on her, but I would say her achievement levels in boxing have certainly shown that she's willing to put in the hard work necessary.
Yeah,
you don't reach these heights that she's had without putting in extremely hard work and long fucking days at a gym.
Absolutely.
Boxing and MMA gyms ain't that different. So she's already used to grinding it out and some fucking, you know, some hard ass work. I mean,
yeah.
I've, you know, former boxer, just like I know wrestling is intense too, but these the things that people do behind the fucking scenes to train for combat sports. And for me, my experience being in boxing, I can only speak to that, but I think it's far more than other sports. Like, I played football and basketball in fucking school, too. And, dude, I worked way, way fucking harder in boxing, dude. Yeah. The conditioning levels that you have to go through, the mental things that you have to overcome, it's just different when you're not on a team and you're physically using either, like, in wrestling, it's similar in the fact that you're using your physical strength against another human being to make them submit in a form.
Yeah,
it's just, it's a whole different world, man. And when you're training, like, around people like that, it's a whole different, it's grimy, exactly. It's gritty.
Like, it's a team sport, but you're out there by yourself at the end of the day.
Right, that's why guys like DC talk about the grind. Like, it's a fucking catchphrase, and it's kind of corny at this point, but it represents a real thing, and boxing has the grind, too, like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
And I know other athletes, I'm not saying they don't put in hard work and it's not difficult, I'm just saying it's a different animal in combat sports.
Yeah.
And I would bet you that people who've crossed over, for like Brendan Schaub, could attest to that as well. They thought they were in shape, but then they started fucking doing this and were like, oh,
yeah,
okay, all right.
Yeah.
You know. But anyways, she puts in that level of work with her MMA, and her wrestling, and just on those basics, the real basics.
Yeah.
And being a naturally gifted athlete already, she could achieve some pretty immediate success just like Holly.
Yeah, no doubt. I think so as well.
I think Holly's only real mistake was that she was so tailored for Ronda Rousey that she became kind of easy to beat after people saw the formula.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, not that she's not still top level. I'm just saying she's lost a few, and that's why. So, let's shift over to UFC now. We had Fight Night Vegas 852. It went down just last week.
852.
It was like 15 or 16 or something.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm over counting which one. It's Fight Night Vegas again.
Yeah.
And you know, we saw Jack Hermanson versus Marvin Vettori in the main event, and Marvin was a replacement fighter, right?
Yeah. Originally was supposed to be Kevin Holland. Well, no. Originally was supposed to be Darren Till.
And then Darren Till
fell out due to injury still. And then Kevin Holland got COVID. And now Marvin Vettori stepped in.
So Jack Hermanson has had some time.
Yeah.
Hard time getting an opponent here.
Uh-huh.
Winds up losing.
Yeah, it was Vettori a tough fight, though. It was a tough fight. It was
tough
back
decision.
And forth.
Very back and forth. I disagreed a little bit with the judges as far as how far apart they had it.
Yeah, I thought it was a little closer.
I thought it was much closer than that. I thought it was pretty even up going into that fifth round.
Yeah.
But Marvin gets the win here. The guy looked bigger to me and different.
Dude, he looked big.
Like, the shaved head, I was like, man. Because I'd been watching the boxing.
Yeah.
And switching back and forth. And when they came out.
He looked like a monster.
And I didn't switch, honestly, to that fight until the Spence fight had ended. And I switched over there real quick. And I was like, whoa, Marvin Vettori.
He looked like a monster, bro.
Yeah.
He had the Michael Bisping look, but, like, way buffer.
Yeah, he did. He looked like a jacked Michael Bisping, like, who put on some weight and maybe even a little meaner.
Yeah, dude.
I was impressed. He winds up winning. I thought he won. Don't get me wrong. I just didn't think
it
was the
too,
blowout.
Oh, yeah, I did, too, I just thought it was a close fight.
Some of those judges had it kind of...
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Kind of off.
Yeah.
Judging lately, Jesus. But I feel bad for Hermanson. He was on a bit of a roll. I don't know how he would have fared against Holland or against Till, for that matter. But it is what it
is. Shit, I think Holland would have slept him if he would have... if he would have been striking with how he... I think Kevin Holland would have finished him when Marvin Vettori had the chance to finish him in the first.
You think?
Yeah. Because Vettori could have finished him. He just, like, kind of knew he was going to go five rounds, so... Like, when he started to recover a little bit, he kind of just was like, all right, let's start over, you know?
Well, entertaining back-and-forth fight from what I went back and watched. I saw the last was two rounds, I think. Rest of the card, anything stand out to you?
Yeah, Jordan Leavitt had that nasty slam against Matt Wyman. I actually did
see that. Jordan Leavitt versus Matt Wyman.
Yeah.
And Matt Wyman at 37, I was surprised to see him in there again. But he's always a tough out, despite his age. And I was expecting a long grind-em-out fight. Because I was interested because you told me a little bit about Jordan Leavitt because...
Yeah, actually, I wrestled with him in high school. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a Vegas local here.
Yeah.
And didn't you say he was pretty odd with his
technique? Yeah, he's one of those guys who's like funky. Like the definition, he's like super funky. And this slam just even explains it even more. Like
yeah, he winds up KOing Matt Wyman in the first like 28 seconds with a slam. He picks him up, carries him across the cage.
It was weird though. It was a weird situation. It was like Wyman was trying to like hold on to him.
Yeah, Wyman was latching on to his legs when he didn't have to.
Yeah.
But then
he didn't have any kind of like submission or anything like that.
I don't know what was going on there. I was like, okay. But then it wasn't a freak KO from a slam.
Dude, it was badass.
Because Jordan he framed up on his head with his arm and intentionally fucking went for that, and it was perfect. Really impressive. Knocked him out cold. It was
perfect.
That shit Wyman's was head hit that mat on that rebound. Like,
he was slapped. Oh, bro. Was nasty. He was like, damn, nasty. He was done. That shit was pretty badass.
Yeah, I was really impressed.
That shit was sick.
Man, he's a character, man.
For real.
Jordan there. He does the dirty dancing move after the fight. Well, I didn't know what to make of that. That was bizarre. Well, I think he might be a problem with his funky wrestling and slams like that.
Yeah. He's undefeated still. I think he's 17-0 now or something like that.
Yeah, undefeated. And he's coming off the Contender Series, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, perhaps when we get moved into the new studio here at the beginning of the year, we'll be able to get him in for a visit.
Yeah, maybe.
Stay tuned.
Well, here's the thing, too. So after the event is over, we get in the post-fight press conference, we get some news by Dana White. So earlier in the week, we find out that Yoel Romero's been cut by the UFC.
Yoel Romero.
And then to double down on that, after the card, Dana White said he's one of many, and there's going to be 60 fighters cut from the UFC by the new year. So,
when you look at this year and how it's gone and what the UFC's gone with, that makes total sense because they've had to have an influx of fighters to make up for the fights that were falling out, and they had to have the type of fighters that were ready to go at a moment's notice.
Yeah.
And they've been using basically the fighters from the Dana White's Contender Series to do that. And that's worked for them, but they've been in a rush to get to the, I believe it's the 42 contracted or 43 contracted events, you know, to get their payday if people haven't been paying attention, to get their $750 million.
Yeah.
But now they can get a reset. They won't have missed 2 months here in 2021.
Yeah.
And they're going to have a bunch of people to let go. But the question is it going to be this influx of new fighters? Is it going to be mid-tier fighters that the new fighters are replacing? Or are they going to fucking get rid of the Yoel Romeros of the world?
Who is ranked
number fifth in the division, incidentally, and three fights left on his contract. Now, there's an argument to be made that he's 43 years old. He's lost three of his last four. He's missed weight in championship bouts. And in his last championship fight, he stood there and didn't do shit.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah, true.
For everybody that says, it's Yoel Romero. He's one of the best in the world. He's fifth in the division, multiple-time challenger, Olympic medalist, blah, blah, blah. Yes, but Dana White will tell you he's lost this, done that, and this age. And plus, what Dana's not going to tell you, but people like you and I know, if you pay attention, most of his career with the UFC has been spent when the Nevada Commission was releasing purse information, and he's expensive.
Yeah.
You know, he's a much higher paid fighter than any of these Contender Series guys coming in.
Yeah, true.
So you mix all of that together, I think it actually makes sense they're letting him go.
Same thing with Anderson.
Yeah. Anderson gets paid a whole bunch and has lost a shit ton.
It's unfortunate.
More than Romero has. And Romero's in a much better spot than Anderson.
I think Romero still has a career outside of the UFC.
He's going to go murder it in Bellator. So
yeah, I think he will go. Division. Gegard and him is a fucking fight I want to see.
I want to see it too, and I think Romero, as long as he's not suddenly this shy dude he was against Adesanya, regular Romero, the crushed Weidman will.
Here's the possible byproduct of what happens after these fighters get cut. Based on where they are as far as legacy-wise and stuff like that, guys like Romero, Anderson, people like that being cut from the UFC, we might see some of these other organizations like ONE, Bellator, pick them up and they go have success there and they end up, you know, becoming a staple. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's just what can happen.
They're going to make a lot of stars in other divisions or other promotions.
Yeah.
If they continue down this path of letting these higher name guys, like this, could signal that people like, say, a Chris Weidman might be in danger of being cut.
Yeah.
I mean, he's had a path not that far off of Anderson's and like Romero's, although I think he's got a lot of fight left in him.
Yeah.
But I mean, what has he lost? He's lost like 4 of his last 5, KO'd like 3 times.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, he rebounded here with 1 win.
Yeah.
And if he'd have lost that, I guarantee you he would have been cut.
Yeah.
I mean, it was that point in his career.
Well, and here's the thing. With the influx of these Dana White Contender Series fighters that are doing well, too, that there's no need for those guys. Because what you've done with the Contender Series during this pandemic and with these cards, although not that many people are watching, the people that are watching and see these guys who come from the Contender Series that are on these Fight Night cards and are making names for themselves, those are the guys that they're going to look to now because those guys are so hungry for, you know, to step up in competition and get to the top of the division that they're going to take fights on short notice and replacements and all kinds of stuff and make a name for themselves that way. You know what I mean?
Well, so far, some of it's working. You know,
it is, yeah. There's some great guys who,
you know, like we were just talking about Jordan. I mean, he's coming from the Contender Series. He's
Kevin Holland,
Las Vegas guy, Kevin Holland stepping up.
Yeah.
So we'll see if it pays off. If some of these guys have star powers and they can still, I guess if people haven't been following the UFC, they might not understand why you and I might come across as a little bit bitter about some of these fight cards and the level of stars that are on them. And it's because the UFC traditionally said they would never do what boxing does. When it was run by the Fertittas in white, they weren't going to water down cards with a bunch of fighters you'd never heard of and give you one big time fight. That was the thing.
Yeah.
And now they're gone, and that's not the thing anymore. And at least this year, we've gotten a whole lot of UFC events that look just like a boxing card.
Well, here's the thing. I'm cool with them once in a while, but just don't fill every single weekend with one. You know,
yeah, I'm not paying $85 to watch the main event. I'm sorry.
The pay-per-views are cool. I just don't want to watch like 4 fight nights a month and then a pay-per-view.
Sometimes they're cool, but they need to be more than just the main event.
Yeah.
Like $85 for the main event is too much. Yeah. When you look at the rest of the main card, and you're like, who are these
pay-per-view,
people?
This upcoming pay-per-view is good, though. I like this upcoming pay-per-view.
Yeah, this is the end of the year shit, and I'll give them a pass. I don't think I got one more after this, but they tend to do good here at the end of the year. And I'll give them a pass because the pandemic.
Yeah.
But if this is the trend, it's not like I'm not going to watch them. I'm just be disappointed if we get a bunch of
watered-down shit. Well,
here's
the thing. Is this 256 that's coming up this weekend literally has had 3 different main events at this point.
Yeah.
You know,
it's crazy.
Originally, this was Amanda Nunes,
mm-hmm.
and then she falls out, and then it becomes Sterling versus Jan, and then they fall out, and then it becomes on last second becomes freaking Davison Figueiredo coming off of a win a week before, or even a couple nights before, taking on Brandon Moreno, who was fighting on that same card
against somebody else.
Yeah. So now we got Brandon Moreno and Davison Figueiredo in the main event for that.
Now, luckily, that is a legitimate matchup. Like, that's a legit title matchup.
Yeah,
Moreno's highly ranked. I think he's ranked second or third. Definitely good
he's
matchup. It's just the timing is weird.
Yeah. Well, they've had to scramble. That's the problem.
They've scrambled and put it together.
Yeah. And it's still a great card.
Yeah, it is a good card. You know, let's talk about that card for a second. And then we'll circle back to that last fight. 256, we've got Figueiredo now against Moreno at 125.
Yeah.
I got to go with Figueiredo here. He's looked like a beast in this division.
He's a savage, man.
I mean, people are saying Moreno is the one to beat him.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's good.
Moreno's good.
I'm not saying he doesn't deserve
Figueiredo it. Figueiredo is, I feel like he's something else.
He seems to be a different animal from what I've seen.
Yeah, he's a savage.
At 125.
Yeah. I mean, he just is always looking for the kill.
What he did to Joseph Benavidez was really surprising to me.
Yeah.
I mean, Benavidez is just a top-notch fighter, and absolutely, he just got manhandled in
twice,
back-to-back fights.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
That really opened my eyes. So I think he's the real deal. He looked great in his last fight, you know, this morning.
Jesus.
You know, he's fighting tonight and then again next week. But no, I mean, it was just a couple of weeks ago. He looked great in that defense against Perez. And now I expect the same here. He stayed here in Vegas. He hasn't left. So he's been training at the Apex Center, which is the PI. Which is an excellent place to go train. I mean,
absolutely.
Say what you will about, you know, the Apex being the baby cage, and I think that sucks. The Performance Institute is top notch.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, he's going to be in shape. It's probably better than what he's got at home, honestly. It is for most
fighters. Moreno had a quick fight, too. They both had two quick finishes, so they both should be ready for this 100%.
Well, it'll be exciting. I'm still picking up Figueiredo.
Yeah.
The co-main event
is
pretty top notch, man. We got Tony Ferguson coming back at 155,
fighting Charles Oliveira.
Charles Oliveira, who is
a
submission machine.
This is going to be a sick fight, dude.
We're going to see them on the mat. You're going to have Ferguson with his...
Do you think we're going to see him on the mat, though? Or do you think they're both going to respect each other's jiu-jitsu so much that they're going to stand like he did with... No?
Like with Gaethje?
No, not with Gaethje.
Ferguson Gaethje?
No, Ferguson, like... I don't know. I feel like when he uses his jiu-jitsu, I feel like it's when he hurts people. Like, I don't think, like, when he, other guys, like Barboza, when he fought Barboza, he didn't really, like, straight go for the submission. He, like, was striking with him to begin with, and then when Barboza got tired, then he went for the submissions. And I feel like Tony kind of does that trend where he tears them up in the early rounds with the elbows and the jabs, leg kicks, stuff like that. And then in the late rounds is when he looks for submissions, or like, you know, in that third round when he gets them tired.
Gets people up against that cage and lands those elbows too.
They're
nasty.
He's got razor elbows. Dude.
Razors. Slice
you
right up.
You cannot deny Oliveira's turned.
I'm saying Oliveira might get him down, though.
He's turned the corner.
I mean, Oliveira's got the most submissions in the UFC right now, does he not?
I think so.
I know he does in the division for sure.
I think so. He's either has it or he's tied.
Or he's about to get it, yeah. I mean, he's a machine, and he's a little under the radar as far as the general public. But that's a tough matchup.
His
I'm
last
kinda
fight
surprised
against
Tony
Kevin
took
Lee
it. Like,
was
look,
crazy.
I'm a big fan of Tony Ferguson.
I am too.
And I don't
this
mean
this could be a tough fight.
I don't mean this in a disrespectful way at all. But let's be honest here, Paul. He's not getting any older or any younger.
Yeah, true.
I mean, he's 30.
Well, this is the this is his chance to really like come out and prove that like he still got it, and maybe get back in the title picture. You know, because what he won what. 14 in a row or something like that?
Yeah, 15.
Yeah.
And went into a
loses
war.
One. He's not out of the picture after a war with the number one guy in the division.
No.
If he comes out and he puts on a great performance against Oliveira, he's right back into that conversation. You know?
Look, I've been saying the same thing.
And if Khabib's out of the picture, we're talking about a vacant title. Whoever puts on the best performance is going to get a shot at the vacant title.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. I think that's one thing that Dana might be waiting on as far as not announcing a title fight yet is this fight here with Ferguson. See how he looks.
Well, that like kind of where the lightweight division's at. It would seem that if Ferguson puts on a great performance, that he would get the winner of McGregor and Poirier.
If they don't
for the belt.
Shift that to being for the belt, then that's what I would imagine.
I don't think
would happen
that, I don't think it's going to happen in time. I think it's going to be held out a bit, and then the title is going to be vacant, and then they're going to fight for a vacant.
You know, I heard this, and I think it could be true. I didn't mention this to you earlier, but I just want to hear your thoughts on it real quick. There's a little bit of a conspiracy theory about this whole thing with Khabib and the title, and why he's still in the testing pool, even though at every turn he's saying he's not fighting. It's because he wants to fuck Connor over last time by hanging on to the belt and causing that where Connor can't go and just get his belt right away.
Yeah.
And all he's got to do is go piss in a cup for that to happen.
Yeah, for sure.
And I kind of believe that I could totally see that being the thing. It's the last big fuck you to McGregor. He doesn't have to do anything but piss in a cup.
Yeah.
Like, that's
without a doubt.
And then just not take himself maybe. Yeah. When he has no intention whatsoever. Yeah. He'll go say everything else. Like, no, I'm not fighting. No.
Yeah, but it'll take him a whole calendar year for them to strip him, too.
And that's the only thing I've heard that makes any type of sense, because I don't think he's hanging on for a GSP fight, because it wouldn't be for the title anyway. Yeah. I don't think he's coming back.
Yeah, because I think if he fights GSP, I don't think it's at 55. What the hell?
Could I see it being just something petty?
Yeah.
Between those two? Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Those two are freaking petty monsters. Both.
Fuck yeah, bro.
Dude, oh my God.
This shit started over some fairly pettiness with just some fucking little Artem getting punked a bit, you know? Yeah. Which ultimately happens in life.
Yeah.
When you're by yourself and get run up on by a crew. You know,
started this whole war.
Started this shit now where Connor can't get a title shot because fucking Khabib's like, yeah, well, fuck you.
See you in a year, motherfucker.
Yep. So, but anyways, I like that fight though. Ferguson Oliveira, that's good. This is a great card. We've got Holland making a quick return here from his COVID. Against Jacare now.
I'll take that trade.
Like, fuck.
I'll take that trade.
That's a step up.
Kevin Holland's stepping up in competition.
Permes has got a win over Jacare, if I remember right, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But still, Jacare is Jacare.
Well, at the same time, also, you got to remember, Kevin Holland is stepping up. Like, he's on the way up the division. These are the kind of fights he has to win to really stake his claim, you know?
Yeah, or if he loses, he needs to lose very narrowly.
Yeah.
You know? It's because Jacare came out and was in vintage form, and Holland put up a hell of a fight and just barely didn't get the decision.
Yeah, to stay at that level. Yeah,
can't go out and get smoked right here.
No,
but
I don't think he will though. I think he wins this fight, honestly.
Yeah, I'm a believer in Kevin Holland.
I like Kevin Holland.
Yeah, I like it too. I'm glad to see him on this card, and we've got a good heavyweight bout, don't we?
Yeah,
it's kind of an odd one, but I the more I've thought about it, I like it. Who is it?
We got Cyril Gane taking on Junior Dos Santos. Talk about stepping up in competition here.
For Gane, big time.
Yeah.
I mean, Junior might be a little bit past the prime days, but he's still a monster.
I think it's like Gane. I think it's Cyril Gane. I don't know.
I think it's Gane.
Is it Gane?
Whatever
or Gane?
It is. Whatever. No disrespect if we're not getting it right. But he's a good fighter.
He's a beast.
He looks great, but this is Junior Dos Santos.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. This is where you decide where either you're a contender or you're just another guy. You know, because Junior Dos Santos, although he maybe doesn't have any stake and claim to a title shot right now, he's always going to be in the mix. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
A win over him does so much for your career if he is able to pull this off.
Dude, if he hadn't had, just imagine a world with me for a second where he doesn't have, especially the third fight with Kane.
Yeah.
Which you're never going to convince me that that didn't take fucking years off his fighting career. Not his life in general. But his fighting career, he was not the same dude.
It was a rough
after
fight.
That shit.
Yeah, no.
Man, that was fucking something, man.
Yeah. It was rough.
And then the middle fight, the second fight, he lost pretty convincingly too. Yeah. That third one was such a brutal 5-round just annihilation.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Imagine that hadn't happened. He's still the guy that maybe he knocks out Kane, then he loses the second fight, whatever. He doesn't go back for the fucking thirds.
Yeah.
You know? How is he now in his later career? Is he still a beast? Because there's a lot of life at heavyweight.
Yeah.
And he's not 40.
Yeah. No,
he's still under the 40 age. And we see fighters succeed over 40 in the UFC.
Yeah.
So I can't help but wonder about that sometimes about Junior. What do you think?
I don't know. I think this is going to be a good measuring stick for what you're saying. You know, does he still have stake and claim where he's saying, I'm not a gatekeeper. I'm trying to go after the title still.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he's still not 40. You know, he's like you were saying. And he's had some good performances as of late. You know, he's not he's seventh in the division, you know, so he's right in the mix. And he's fought Stipe before. So, you know, there's a storyline still there. So let's say he strings a couple together, he's right back in there. So
absolutely.
If Ciryl Gane's gonna win this fight, he's gonna be right in the mix as well. Heavyweight is one of those divisions where you can win two or three. You don't even have to win two or three. You can win one big win. Everyone's like, "Oh shit!"
You might get it. Two, you're probably going to get it. And you win three big, unless you got some weird thing like Francis Ngannou situation.
Yeah, where no one likes you like Francis.
Yeah, like and you already lost to the champ in a pretty convincing, albeit.
Although
sort of
I
boring
think a
fight.
Rematch is different. Yeah. But
I think it's probably different too, but we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll fucking see. But I like Dos Santos in this fight. I think he's supposed to win here.
And
I hope he does, frankly. I don't want it to be the downside of Dos Santos' career yet.
Yeah.
He's a good dude.
For sure.
The thing that I wanted to wrap the show up with here today was the return at 135 pounds in the UFC of what I'm going to say is full-time UFC commentator Dominic Cruz and part-time fighter, former champ, to fight not Frankie Edgar like we had previously discussed and many had hoped for, not a top three contender, not a top five, not a top 10, not a ranked fighter, but Casey Kenney, who... No disrespect to you, Casey Kenney, but why the fuck is Dominic Cruz fighting this guy, Paul? What is going on here? Why you're coming out of the booth to fight?
I don't know.
Casey Kenney, whose claim to fame, as far as I know, is training with Sean O'Malley. I mean, I
don't know.
I don't get it. I don't understand why Dom would risk his injury. He's so fucking injury prone. He's had seven UFC fights in his career.
He's coming off a title loss.
Look how decorated this guy is. How well esteemed he is. He's had seven fights, dude.
Yeah.
He's coming off a loss, and I don't get it. I'm baffled by this bout.
Does he think he's going to make another run at the belt? Like, but how is he going to do that fighting this guy?
I have no idea.
What's going on here?
Is he just trying to get like a tune-up in there? He's a tough out. This kid can fight. Yeah. Casey Kenney can fight.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not trying to sound like he's not a worthy opponent.
Yeah,
I'm saying when you're someone of Dominic's
he has
caliber.
So much more to lose and so little to gain by fighting Casey.
Yeah, if you go out and lose and you're Dominic Cruz to an unranked fighter, you're in a, as far as being considered a serious contender.
Yeah, you're in a bad situation.
You're in a bad situation. Like, you got to rebuild after that.
Yeah. For Casey Kenney, though, this is your chance to shock the world.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know?
Bizarre fight announcement.
That's a serious name to have on your record if you have a win over freaking Dominic Cruz.
All I can figure is Dom wants a fight against somebody that he's supposed to win, who everybody considers a tough out.
Yeah.
And he's just looking, you know, as much as he says he is not a believer in ring rust, maybe he's just looking to stay active and hope he lands that Dillashaw fight as, you know, middle, early next year. I don't know when this fight is going down. Is there a date on this fight? I'd imagine with a victory, though.
March 6th.
Yeah, so he's hoping Dilly comes back, gets some shit done.
Dilly.
Gets the belt, gets
Silly
a rematch.
Dilly.
I could see that. Dillashaw wants that win back for sure.
Yeah, he does. And actually, let's end the show on this. TJ Dillashaw. Because I spent a lot of time reading comments on articles and Twitter discussions about Dillashaw this week. And at least in that community, which I don't think is reflective of the MMA community at whole, comment sections and Twitter are notorious dumpster fucking fires of comments, dude. However, there's a lot of sentiment that Dillashaw is a cheater who should never fight again, and his entire career is invalidated, and he's a humongous piece of shit who should basically fuck off and die.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a lot of that sentiment. I find that odd.
People are crazy.
I mean, yes, he cheated.
Yeah.
He took a steroid to gain a physical advantage over someone in a sporting event. It happens across all sports.
Yeah.
And people make an argument, oh, but dude, this is fighting. He could kill somebody.
Here's the
problem. Okay. Tell me the problem.
The problem is the way he got caught was from a new test that they were just trying out to catch a way that people were cheating. You know what I mean? The EPO, the test that they got him with was a new test that they had never ran before. So in all reality, no one really knows how many times he's done that. You know what I mean? Whether it's like before other fights, he's like, there's other ones where he tested negative and stuff like that. But that doesn't mean earlier in his career when he was champion, because he's been fighting for a while. And there's like a serious like corner he like there's when a chance left where
Team Alpha
yeah
Male,
when he left Team Alpha
and
Male,
went with Dwayne
was,
Ludwig
yeah,
to Colorado.
There's like a change in his body that happened.
This is true.
So
I think,
don't know.
I mean, I think with the eye test you can go back and look at that. I agree. Yeah. Now, does that mean it's because he's with doing different training and he's eating Dwayne's fucking peanut butter?
Yeah.
And fucking, you know, bulking up, leaning down, whatever. Because yeah, he did get caught in an odd circumstance when he's trying to make a really ridiculous weight.
Weight cut, yeah.
So, and I'm frankly not a TJ Dillashaw fan as a person. Like, I will watch him fight all day. I think he's tremendously skilled, but, like, I don't like the dude. I'm not, like, on Team Dillashaw. You know, I'm on the Conor McGregor. He's a snake squad. If you want to break it down to silly shit like that, okay? Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, I personally, I don't think his career is invalidated. I don't think he served his punishment. What do you want? The people who are in charge of all of these things said, we busted you. The punishment is 2 years. He did the punishment. So if they say his career is not over, who the fuck are we as fans to be like, your career is over now? You can't go earn a living because you cheated.
Yeah.
And that doesn't apply in any other sport.
Yeah, for real.
When these guys get tested in any other sport, that's not like, oh, you got caught. That's it. No more football for you. No more basketball for you. No more golf for you.
No more golf. True.
I mean, there's a punishment. You pay a fucking price. Just like in jail. It's just the same type of thing. Like, you break a law in the real world, you go, you pay your price. Does that mean you don't have a life afterward?
Yeah, no.
You know? So, I don't know. I just thought that was bizarre that people are just like, fuck this dude, he's a cheater. Like, I think he's a good fighter. If you get caught cheating again, there's more serious ramifications. And I believe it's the third time and he would be done, right?
Yeah.
I think that's how the USADA has it set up right now, mainly.
Yeah.
And, if we go, we see him fight, you know, when he comes back and he looks like shit and he's never the same after this, then we'll be able to look back on a career and say, hey, look like this kid was juicing this whole time.
True.
But I think right now, we don't fucking know. We don't know anything. True. You know, it's far too early to judge these things.
Well, he's coming out with claims of he's going to get a title shot right when he comes off of the suspension.
He's been saying that for 2 years, yeah. And he's been really harping it now. We'll see.
You better not step in.
I know that I find it upsetting that they canceled the bantamweight title fight here.
Yeah.
Between Jan and Sterling right at this time as well.
Yeah.
Because he's up in what, less than 30 days here? He's up in January, early January.
Yeah. It's terrible.
Like, it's 5 weeks or less.
Yeah.
So, and he's going to be ready. I mean, he could be ready to go. It's not like he needs a
right
full
away.
Camp. If he's smart, he's already been in full camp.
Yeah, for sure.
And they've been talking behind the scenes, and there's a fight they simply can't announce because they're not supposed to do anything like
until
that.
Until late January.
And he could come out, you know, 3 days after his suspension is over, and they could announce he's fighting fucking Peter Yan for the title.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
That would really bum me out, but I wouldn't be shocked.
I wouldn't either. Yeah.
So, well, that's my thoughts on that. I just thought we'd discuss that since, you know, we're ending with Dominic, and Dominic and Dillashaw have a history.
Yep.
And it's the same division.
Well,
so,
I think that wraps today's show up.
I think it does. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. We appreciate all of our listeners from across Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play. We're about to be on Amazon Podcast as well. We're on Deezer now. And, of course, video on YouTube. We'll be back on the radio shortly on WBUZ 95. We've got all kinds of things in the works. We're going to be on TV here shortly. Paul, you'll be able to see us doing boxing interviews.
Yep.
We can't talk about it too much yet, but as soon as we're cleared to release more information, we will be certain to let all of you know, where can I get all of this information at, Paul, to find us at all these places?
You can head over to swatmade.com where you can click the gear button, buy a t-shirt, and support the podcast, everybody.
That'd be awesome. Thanks, everybody.
Peace.
Later.